Vida and Psychology podcast. I am Charlotte Skogsberg, your host for this podcast. I am enchanted to meet and to take you with me on this journey into the human psyche, viewed from the holistic approach of yoga and Ayurveda, and viewed from the modern man approach of clinical psychology and psychoanalysis. So have something nice to drink next to you, maybe a cup of tea, have a seat, or go out for a nice walk. Enjoy. In this episode that focuses on Ayurveda, I want to speak to you about the principles of healing. Now, you've all heard me say in the past that Ayurveda is an holistic approach to healing and to the human being. And it has that as a way to differentiate itself to modern medical science. The principles of Ayurveda, we often say, are that like attracts like, and opposites balance out. Now, what do we mean by balancing out? This is really the key to understanding the holistic approach and to understand how healing happens, because that's which we call to balance means to actually bring the organism back into balance. And when we speak about bringing the organism back into balance, what we really speak of is this word that is used in modern biology of homeostasis. Homeostasis being when our organism is in balance in its perfect state. How does it get there? And how do we know? Well, you have a certain number of set points in your body that when the thermostat, let's say, is at the right temperature, at the right set point, the function is in homeostasis. And when all of these set points are where they're supposed to be, then your whole organism is in homeostasis. There's a set point for your hair, for your nails, skin. There's a set point for your blood, for your body temperature, as you know. There's a set point for your metabolic rate as well. Let's take the obvious example, therefore, of body temperature. Now, the set point for most people's body temperature, to make it very simple, let's say 37 degrees Celsius. This means that if that set point goes off into, let's say, 37 and a half or 36.4, for instance. Let's say that it goes beyond the half, so 37.67 even, or 36.34. We instantly notice that we are not in balance with our body temperature. We experience that we are ill, that we have fever of some kind, that there's either too hot with fever or too low, and that would be for other reasons. This means that this set point has a quite small, let's say, gap in between. It can oscillate for us to feel that we are in homeostasis. Now, what we need to understand here is that the information about these set points exist anywhere in the body. So you are a planet. You have some 30 to 40 or 50 trillion cells. The exact number is probably not known to anyone really, and it doesn't really matter that much today. But all of these cells carry, store the exact same information. This is the reason, of course, that they can take a hair sample, for instance, and find out issues with your liver. All the cells in your body carry the same information. Now, each and one of your cells have their own function. So what is very important to understand is that when there's a part of you, when there's a set point somewhere in your organism that it's off. The other cells that are not having that work, let's say that function as their primary occupation, will still have that information. Basically, like when we have inflammation that I've spoken about before, all the cells knows of this. And there are some cells that will be occupied only with stopping that fire. But if that is maintained, if the inflammation is maintained and those cells are depleting basically their resources, then soon enough, other parts of the body will be drained of energy because the body will need to take resources from other places in order to try to heal this inflammation. So what I mean is that you might begin to notice symptoms elsewhere in the body than where the inflammation is happening. From the holistic approach, this therefore means that if we want to heal something that has been potentially been going on for a while, so long that we started to have manifestations of it, then there will be an impact of this manifestation, of this symptom, in other parts of the body, which means that we need to address the body at its whole. You see, the root cause of the manifestation that we see might therefore be situated somewhere else actually in the body originally. As a way to illustrate this, we can see, for instance, and most have experienced this, that if you sleep poorly, maybe even for several days, for several weeks, for a very long time, you might notice that your digestion is off. I want to take the opportunity to mention my online program for you. It's a program dedicated to healing all kinds of typical illnesses that we find in modern days, from chronic fatigue, anxiety, digestive issues, weight gain, weight loss, insomnia, and everything in between. Now, I've put this together in a way that we assure success through 3 individual consultations with me, 8 group sessions with a whole group, and educational material for you to digest whenever you can and want to. We work on healing whatever you want to heal, take care of whatever needs seem to be unmet in your organism, or even without trying to heal something specific, finding the perfect routine that works for you. If you are seeking to find more balance in your life, if you keep yo-yoing in how you're feeling physically, mentally, or emotionally, and never being able to really see how that stabilizes, then this program is for you. Get in touch with me either through my website, yogisha.com, or send me directly an email, charlotte@yogisha.com, and we'll jump on a call to talk about it more. Thank you for listening. Back to the episode. This is the reason in itself that when Ayurveda prescribes something to heal whatever is going on with you, it will recommend changes, adaptations in the things that you do during the day, what time you are doing them, and in what way you're doing them. Because what it does is that when your set points are off, your whole organism is fighting an internal battle to try to fix the root cause. And so by aligning your organism with its set point, you allow for healing to happen on a global level. So when I then say set point as in aligning with the set point, this means that when your vata is out of balance, you align with vata, but on a global scale, internally in the microcosm, yes, but also externally of the skin in the macrocosm, meaning when vata is dominant, for instance, in the air, or what things you take in terms of energy resources, food, drinks, what you see, etc., etc. This is the reason that if you begin to simply align with the circadian rhythm, that which we in Ayurveda would refer to as Dinacharya, you're allowing for your doshas, your elements in the body, to realign and to function in harmony with themselves outside of your skin as well. And when they begin to align with themselves, so the doshas align with the doshas internally, externally, balance is reestablished in your organism, and all of a sudden you begin to notice this balance in places where you weren't expecting it, because it was already out of balance there as well. I wanted to illustrate this principle of healing with two examples. So the first one is, we were saying at the time that it's a miracle. Very often, these kind of manifestations, when that happens, when we discover healing that we weren't expecting, let's say, we tend to refer to that as some kind of miracle work, when it's really just a question of A plus B, of balance, of homeostasis, of realigning with things. So many years ago, I was living in the south of France, in Biarritz, on the Atlantic coast. And every morning, like I had done already for quite some years, I would go out running. And every morning I would go every day, 7 days of the week, every day of the month, all of that, all year around, doesn't matter. And there would be this old man that I would always meet. He was out power walking while I was out running. And we would always say hello. And there would even be moments where we would make a little joke because we were the only ones out that day, for instance, because it was raining or because it was this and that. And believe you me, on that part of the country, when it was raining properly. So it wasn't just a drizzle and that we would be like, oh, let's go anyway, right? It would be like proper hard rain. And I would decide to go running anyway, and he would decide to go for his walk anyway. So we would make a little bit of a joke around that. And then I had been away for 2 months because I went traveling in India and Bali, actually. And then when I came back, this was early January, I came back on New Year's Eve, and I went out for my run, of course, as usual, the next day or the second day after that. And I saw him, and he stopped me. And he said, oh, I was so worried. I hadn't seen you for a couple of months and I was wondering what happened. And so I explained that I'd just been away. And he said, oh, well, that's good to know. Because, you know, I had a stroke on the 1st of December. So this man, I mean, I don't know his exact age, but I would say looking at him that he must have been somewhere plus 80. So somewhere between 80 and 85, I would say. He had a stroke on the 1st of December. It paralyzed his whole right side. And the doctors were saying that even though he was in good shape, they didn't really know how long it would take to recover and if he would even completely recover, that there might be some collateral damage. He was telling me this and I stood back and I looked at him and I said, you had a stroke on the 1st of December? And where the 2nd or 3rd of January, and here you are out power walking. And he smiled and he said, yeah, can you just imagine that? And I said, it's a miracle. And he said, well, it's starting to look like one. Now, how come that this happens for some people and not for others? It is a question of principle of healing. This man who was living since quite a lot of years, I would say, since he had that daily walk, even at that age, is not something he just started last year, right? He had been living in accordance with the principles of healing, which means in accordance with nature. He was adopting lifestyle choices, diet, and stress management in a balanced way, which means that his set points were pretty good. When something happens, this means that his organism's resilience is that much faster. This is why you cannot be frustrated with Ayurveda that didn't heal your cancer, for instance, and that you had to go and get medical cancer treatment for it. Cancer doesn't happen by hazard, the same way that diabetes type 2, obesity, doesn't happen by hazard. Now, anything is reversible, but depending on how your set points are. Depending on how resilient your organism is, that work might be short or long. So depending on for how long you've been out of balance, meaning the age that you are at, and for how long you've been practicing being out of balance, you might not have the time to reestablish balance before it's, well, your time to check out. I wanted also to take the example of the same principle of healing, an explanation of this holistic approach that you need to have to yourself, but with a completely different situation that is more mental. So in our minds, this means basically that it's something else, right? But it's not. It's the same thing. It's just that it is in the subtle energy instead of the physical. Very often, we get frustrated with Ayurveda because the recommendations or the tools or whatnot can seem simplistic. I have this and that issue. Change your diet. Frustrating. Yeah, I just want the pill. I want the thing that fixes me now, right? The same way that with our bad habits that seem so hard to get rid of, when we're offered a really, really simplistic, it can seem easy, actually, is what it is. Tool. Well, easy isn't the right word at all, because it's hard. It's something that isn't complicated to do, but it has a very complex result. So one of the participants in the Nourish Balance Thrive program told me as we had our first call, kind of to set the scene a little bit, that she had a few things that she was hoping to find a solution for. She would have some digestive issues after eating, and she also was smoking. She was smoking not enormously, but just a little bit. She was mainly smoking if she would have alcohol. And that's also one of the things. She would have alcohol a couple of times a week, very socially accepted and even normal where she was living, like in many places in the world. And she was, first of all, saying that, yes, she wouldn't mind coming to terms with that. But she also said that she was reluctant to the idea of not doing that anymore because she enjoyed that. And I said, fair enough. I am not going to tell you to do this or the other. Let's just begin with something that seemingly has nothing to do with any of these issues. So I gave her my tool, the very simple, extremely easy to implement, not complicated tool of tracing her habits when it comes to food. And the only thing that I wanted her to do was to basically evaluate on a scale her hunger levels, really. So she started off with that. And after about a week or so, she asked me, oh, I have a question when it comes to evaluating, you know, should I do that just when I'm sitting down for a meal, like breakfast, lunch, and dinner, or should I do that for the snacks as well? And I said, well, I would say that you could even do it at any time, even if it's not when you're supposed to be eating anything. She didn't really understand. And she said, okay. Well, the reason I'm asking is that I don't know really how to position myself here in some of these moments of snacking because I'm not hungry. And so I said, well, maybe then the question is even more, why would you snack then if you are not hungry, right? So she's like, oh, touche. She continued with this work. And after a few more weeks, she said, something has begun to change. But it's very strange, she said. I've been using this and indeed I've noticed that it makes me more, let's say, disciplined with not just eating anything at any time, but to actually evaluate, oh, okay, this is normal that I should be eating now because I've noticed that I'm hungry. It has also made me eat less, even though that was not something that was of her concern originally. It wasn't like, she wasn't someone who's like, oh, I overeat all the time, like some people would say. But she noticed that she reduced her portions as well. But she told me something quite incredible. She said, I realized two things linked to my food habits that this tool helped me with. And number one, actually, I don't have the digestive issues after eating anymore. And number two, something happened when I realized that I was snacking even though I wasn't hungry, which just, I didn't even have to force it, but I kind of just stopped having sugar cravings. So I don't really snack much anymore at all. And she said, but the real big thing that I don't understand how that happened is that I've almost completely stopped smoking, even though she was not at all focusing on the smoking. So you might wonder, how is this possible? Why would that be? Well, once again, it comes back to this idea of the different set points in the body and all the cells having the same information, even though they have different functions. When there is a set point that is out of whack, let's say, when there is some kind of disruption, the communication between the cells doesn't function, just like how it works between people, right? It's not that difficult to see how that would be. When there's a disruption in the communication between the cells is where then after a while we begin to see manifestations of things. And so as we begin to realign the set points that are off, the communication begins to flow freely. And when the communication begins to flow freely, there's no more conflict. And so an information of a conflict in the gut that was also known in the brain would of course have an impact on the function of the brain. And when we realign, so when that set point comes back to where it should be and the communication flows freely, then all of a sudden the set point in the gut as well is settled back. We can explain this in different ways actually, but this is one way, okay? I could explain this from the psychological perspective, from so many perspectives, but this is the one that I wanted to choose today. So what was going on here was that there was a disruption in the set point of the metabolic rate, of the digestive capacity, which had her develop certain symptoms that were directly linked to her belly being able to feel when there was need for food and her brain to be able to simply know that I only need to eat, put something into my mouth at this time. She became much more aware of her needs, of her set points. And so she started to listen and then respond to them. The bloating or the gas disappeared. The cravings disappeared because actually there was absolutely no need for them. And at the end of the day, whether it's cravings to mindlessly eat sweets, cookies, things like that, even though you're not hungry, or cravings of just putting that cigarette into your mouth, it comes back to the same mechanism, to the same function. So when she all of a sudden became so aware of having a healthy digestion, so that she could look at those cookies and go, well, actually, I don't really need them right now. Well, she was capable of doing the same thing with the smoking, even though she had not even tried to. And that's the key point when it comes to most of our addictions. It is to address it from a very different perspective, not in this, I have to stop doing something, because that's when it's, well, not working. Thank you so much for choosing to listen to this podcast and this episode. I am very grateful. If you enjoyed this and you think that other people could enjoy this, please help me to spread the word. Share this episode on any channel that you have of social media or messaging. And even more so, I would really appreciate if you know one other person who might benefit from my words today specifically. Take that 1 minute it takes to simply share this episode with one person. Remember that there's a human being on the other side of your phone, of your earpods, of this microphone. And I would love to hear your thoughts on what I've been talking about. So please leave a comment. Send me a message directly if you wish. This is Charlotte. This is me. See you next time. Namaste.